Paul described the kingdom of God as, which he said is the kingdom of God is not food or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we'll, in a few minutes, and everybody on the internet, you get welcome to be a part of us. We're going to talk about this, frame it a little bit, so we can kind of step from the from the circumstances that we're struggling in and step into the eternal kingdom and receive everything God has. And we've got the 6 o'clock group. We prayed for one another. We were releasing the Holy Spirit to one another, and they're all ready to pray and lay hands on everybody else. And we're just gonna let that river flow. Is that good?
Yeah.
The encounter is happening this weekend. The Freedom Encounter this weekend, next weekend. It is going to be the greatest demonstration of God's goodness and mercy that we've had yet today. And so we bless that, and we bless everyone going, and we cover it with the love and the mercy of God and the blood of the Lamb, and bless Steve and Shirley Kwan as they take the lead. It's going to be a good day. Okay, so here, I'm going to just frame this, take me 15 minutes just to put a little picture, and then you can step into it, and we'll begin to partake of it. It's not just for tonight, it's for part of the practicing the presence of God, so we can walk through the battles ahead and see the transformation that Jesus has ordained to happen in our lives and around us. So let me just give you this. You know this very well, but Luke 17, 20, verses just 20 and 21. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." The Greek word for observation literally means inspection. Does not come by inspection, does not come by the perceiving of the eye or with watching. Nor will they say, "See here," or "See there," for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, if that be true, which it is, then that is a dynamic implication. The word "in" within is also, you find it in Matthew 23, 26. And sometimes when you can go into the Greek and then go find it another English word, you go, "Oh, okay, what does within mean?" Here he's speaking to the Pharisees, not in a very nice tone. He says, "Woe to you," verse 25 of chapter 23 of Matthew. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them will be clean also." So that's the inside. Pretty simple. Inside means inside. It's inside, the inside, inner being, the interior of us, the inner man. However you can get language to give you imagery, it's the inside. So the kingdom of God is within, it's inside. We can spend our life on the outside, we can get our cups all clean on the outside, but we can live with self-indulgence, we can live with extortion, even though we appear very religious and very righteous. And truly that is no fun. That's the no fun zone. Because when you're all on the outside and not on the inside, and your inside's being eaten up by all that, it's just destructive. But when your life is filled with the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God and you're partaking of that, it doesn't take long before it starts to clean the outside. Does that make sense? That's why Galatians 6 or 5 says very simply, when it contrasts the 17 works of the flesh plus a miscellaneous to the 9 fruit of the Spirit, the exhortation is to walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if you got a problem with your flesh, don't try to conquer it, because the more you put attention to it, most of the time, the more it will become empowered, because all you know is to use law and stop that. Don't do that. Don't be there, which only strengthens sin, and sin abides and resides. So that's a way that we try to get people to be free, but it usually makes people more bound. But if we walk in the Spirit If you just move toward the Holy Spirit and partake of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, His self-control, and partake of the fruit, soon you are drawn into a life of walking by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, which is a totally cool thing. So now there's even a simpler way of describing or kind of, you know, took me a lot of years to really learn to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, to literally partake of it, eat it, even though it was always there for me. I always thought it was something I was supposed to do versus something I was supposed to partake. But one thing I was caught because of the kingdom of God challenge here and then in Romans, and this is the last scripture we'll look at tonight, Romans 14. Romans 14 is a very interesting chapter. My top of my Bible, it talks about the law of liberty. And it talks about, in this context, there were believers who had, in their faith, freedom to partake of any meat purchased at any place, as long as they sanctified it with prayer, they ate it, they enjoyed it. There were others that said, you can't eat meat at such and such a place because the meat they sell there was sold, had been sacrificed earlier to idols, and you can't eat that meat because it's been defiled because it was sacrificed to idols. And they couldn't eat the meat. And then there was a group that said, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. I sanctify it by my prayer and thanksgiving. It's fine. I can eat it. And others say, no, you can't eat it. And so you had this contrast. And so in Romans 14, he's trying to address this to the Romans. Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. So that is probably the hardest self-control that we have to carry out as believers living in community, is because each of us discover the Lord in our life. We start from the context of where our life is from, and we have to try to then walk together, but we become aware that each of us have a uniqueness of interpretation and consecration and what we can do and what we can't do. And in this case, he used faith levels. It's kind of an interesting thing, and I don't know how to always look at that, but he said somebody has faith can eat anything, and someone has less faith can eat only vegetables. Okay, so there's nothing about vegetarians versus carnivorous. So, all right, don't think of yourself of less faith if you're a vegetarian. It's just a contrast. And I can go to the idol issue because that's addressed many times. It's in Corinthians, it's addressed. But so he said the person who has a higher faith, who has this liberty to eat more than the other lesser faith or small faith, has a temptation to despise. You kind of look, you poor little, you know, uninformed, bound, limited believer. It's just kind of a, I'm sorry, I used to be stuck like you. Now, the one who has the lesser faith, typically, and I'm only sharing this so that you can find yourself. Yeah. Trust me, you've been there, done it, and you will be there and you will do it. I do it all the time. The lesser faith doesn't see themselves as lesser faith. They see themselves as more consecrated, more holy, more separated, more dedicated, more focused. And so they go like this. Use carnal, backsliding, worldly, unseparated believer. You small-minded, religious, tight, unbelieving, bound-up believer. You carnal, unbelieving. And that's the tension. And once you've got that tension, it can be over movies, it can be over dress, it can be over any issue. Once you get that issue, you are in carnality in the truest sense, because you are in division and you are in envy and you're in strife. And wherever there's envy, strife, and division, you're in carnality. You're thinking in a mindset of the outer cup, the outside of the cup. So then he goes and he says, verse 4 of chapter 14, who are you to judge another servant? Bottom line, when we are the unto our father, we are going, wow, that's really weird. You let that kid do that and you don't let me do that. Who are you to judge this another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. If I've ever learned something over and over and over again in 38 years, is that anything I decide to take a holy position on and say that which anything that doesn't do that is not of God. God will make a point at some point very soon to prove to me how he chooses to use that very thing that I say he can't use, to my consternation. It's almost like he makes it happen just so he can prove to me that he can do anything he wants. And he isn't, I'm not his judge of who he can do and what he can't do. At the same time, anytime I get into a place of thinking, well, you know, I've just arrived at such a place of liberty that, you know, God just likes me more than anybody, then Lord will nail me on some real, real strict level of consecration and say, I want you now to observe this. And you go, oh, Lord, that just seems like going backwards. You go, no, that's going forward. You need to consecrate on this level. So I try to stay free. I try to just say, Lord, I just, you know, please just be kind to me and I'll be kind to everybody else. Yeah. Right? Isn't that it? I'll be kind. It's the only rule that we've enforced in Jubilee is the law of love. Love one another. Give room to each other. Don't judge. So then he says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. You know, one considers the Sabbath holy. Somebody thinks it's just Saturday. Somebody calls the feast something we have to observe. Somebody says, I don't need to observe any feast. You go, oh, well, that's right, that's wrong. No, can't be. If you go right or wrong, you're again going backwards. You're going out of grace. You're going out of faith. You're going into a conflict, which usually just becomes a will battle. Challenging somebody else, trying to force somebody else to see what you see, to comply to what you comply. And true liberty is where your freedom is really what you enjoy before God. And you keep it to yourself. You don't impose it on others, neither are you feel the need to comply or conform or prove or protect or any of that. So he goes on, and he says, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe it to the day, to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat, to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. See, the intentionality, I believe, of Paul was really calling us to the highest form of consecration, is to live unto God and to be responsible to present our entire being before God and to find his final and complete approval in his spirit, through communion, through the word of God, and to live there as an open book before him. And then knowing that because as a multi-membered body, just as a body, the purpose of a finger is going to be different than a heel, that we're never going to try to force all of us to look like fingers or all be, you know, we all, you know, all act like heels. So he goes on and he says, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt of your brother? See, that's the looking down or the judging. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's sobriety. That's where the fear of God then begins to take hold of ourself before the Lord. We go, wait a minute, you know, I won't be able to point the finger anywhere. It's just all going to be about giving an account to me. And if I say, well, this person, that group, it won't hold up anything. I remember very, very early in our courtship, before we were married, like most young men, I would struggle with Cammie's ways, and I want her to change, and I think the way she is impeding me and not allowing me to be who I need to be, and I'd be in this tension and thinking, gosh, if you know the way she is, it's going to stop me from being who I'm to be. And I had this vivid dream of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And all of a sudden, I saw myself having that same mental argument to God. And he looked at me, and he just with his piercing eyes said, "That isn't, that won't work here." It was as clear as that. It won't work here. And all of a sudden I realized, you know, you're right. I'm going to be standing here by myself naked. Cammie won't be anywhere to be found, or my parents, or anybody that I might be pointing blame to. And it was really a liberating thought, because it broke that argument, because we get to these kinds of thinking patterns that are just really hindering our receiving freedom. So he says, "So then each of us shall give an account to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way." And then he says this powerful statement, "I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be clean, unclean, to him it is unclean." That's a really powerful thought. Let's just say, to me, McDonald's is unclean. Or let's say it's clean. Say it's my favorite place to eat. It's the happy, happy place. And say to you, you understand what McDonald's, from some other just study, carries and brings. And to you, it is like eating something that's going to lead you to illness and sickness and depravity. You watch too many documentaries. So you got that mindset, I got this mindset. And say, so we're going to go to come before God and say, "God, we need a judgment from you on this deal. Because I believe in McDonald's, this person doesn't believe in McDonald's. Would you tell us what you believe?" And what he would say to you is, he'd say to me, "Do you believe it's okay to eat McDonald's?" I'd say, "Yes, I certainly do." He says, "Well, then it's okay for you to eat McDonald's." And next person next to me, "Oh no, what this is. Does that mean I have to?" And he said, "Well, do you believe that it's okay to eat McDonald's?" "No, I don't believe at all. I believe it's unclean." He says, "Then it's unclean to you." Can you imagine that? That God allows that much diversity of opinion in the heaven? That we don't all have to conform to Carl's Jr.? I mean, think about that. That's radical. Radical to think that what is unclean to me is unclean and what is clean to you is clean. Now, we all have to stand before God and give an account for that. We could deceive ourselves. I'm not talking about using our liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but that's the beauty of salvation, is we all now live unto God and live before God and have this place in Him. So he says, "Yet, if your brothers grieve because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy him with your food, the one for whom Christ died." So if I take my brother and say, "You know what? It's my treat. We're going to McDonald's." And I force him into McDonald's. That's not nice. That's because I am using my liberty and I'm making him stumble. "Therefore, do not let your good," McDonald's, "be spoken evil of," because he's going to go away and he's going to go, "Did you know what? I don't even know if I can ever go to lunch with Steve again, because I went to lunch with Steve and the guy took me to McDonald's. He ordered me a Big Mac. Made me eat it. I felt so bad. Threw up in the afternoon. Can you believe? I'm wondering if he's even saved." You see? That's how that grows, right? So you don't, that's what happens when we force or try to comply or force. So he says, "Therefore, don't let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's a very profound thought. "And he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." Now we're going to come back to that, because that's really the focal point and the antidote to all of the swirlings that we all find ourselves in. But he goes on and says, "Therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace, and things by which one may edify another." So that's where we recognize, okay, I'm going to lunch with an anti-McDonald brother. so let's not go to McDonald's. Or I'm going to lunch with a person who needs to eat meat, so we're not going to go to a, you know, a veggie health place. And we kind of, that's that love, that laying down to where we both can meet. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but for it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now here's the key. Here's how you live. You don't force. You don't try to cause trouble. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. You know, it's funny about that. Faith, so often we don't seem to be able to enjoy it unless we're pushing it on somebody else. That's not really faith. That's like, I need you to agree with me so I'm comfortable with what I believe. But when you really believe, you don't need anybody in the room to believe what you believe. It's too late. I remember getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking other tongues. And I'm just so excited in college, and I'm just so awakened into my faith. And I meet this young girl, and she's explaining to me in all these Bible terms that I can't be filled with the Holy Spirit until I am baptized in water. And I'm listening to her, and I'm thinking, well, I am full with the Holy Spirit. And I speak in the, no, you can't be. And I'm going, well, I am. So I'm sorry, messed up your doctrine, but I am. See, because when you really have something, you don't. It isn't a matter of needing to force somebody else to see it, but neither do they dissuade you by argument. So he says, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. That's why holding your faith, and it's why you live before God with your faith, and you live inside of your faith, and then you can have a happy life. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. So if I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm trying to, if McDonald's is unclean, just let it stay unclean. You don't need to go make it clean or make others think it's unclean. But if I'm trying to get there to try to figure it out, but I'm not going in faith, I'm just trying to sort it out, I'll walk away with a condemnation, a sense of, I wonder, I'm not sure. And the devil is real ready to come alongside and accuse you. Did you believe that? What you just did sets you back 5 years in your journey. Take you that long to get the antibiotics out of your body. You know, just silly thoughts, because you're not in faith. You're in faith, you can... Do you follow me on that? So he simply says, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. That's pretty big. That's pretty great. That's why we want to live by faith and not by sight. We don't want to judge our life by from our sight. We want to do it from faith. Let's go back to this thing about the kingdom, and then we're going to pray. Kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. All these illustrations, it's not that. That's not the kingdom. It's not McDonald's, no McDonald's. It's not that. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, he says, and he who serves God within these things, serving God in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, is acceptable to God and approved by men. So what we were doing at the 6 o'clock, and I want us to present and practice, and on Sunday we're going to step further into specifically the peace of God. I want to present these thoughts. The kingdom of God is unseen by the naked eye. It's within. And its manifestation within you and me as a believer, or in a company of believers together, is going to be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, righteousness, we know, is imputed. It is not earned. It is not based on law. It is based on faith. I believe in Jesus, therefore he imputes that to me as righteousness. We call that justification. And it is communicated. It is experienced. It is felt. It is impacting by the Holy Spirit. And it is the kingdom of God. It is also peace. It is this substance of God that is demonstrates from either in or without dominion and victory and submission unto God and His ways. It's security, it's safety in mind, body, and estate. That's what we used to define peace as: safety, mind, body, and estate. Shalom. And joy is the essence of the effervescence of God. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. It's almost the first emotion you meet when you meet Him, when you feel Him, when He comes near. So what I want to suggest and what we want to release, and then I want you to go out and practice, is that when we go to pray or when we begin to encounter God intentionally or unintentionally, what will be experienced in His kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. And the best, simplest way I've come to describe it for me is righteousness, and I want to use the word feels like, because a lot of times words are too abstract and we think of them as like things to do or to arrive or achieve. But I want them to be things that I'm experiencing. So therefore I think of emotion, I think of how I might be positioned, how that might appear, how that might sound, and how that might cause me to respond. I allow the words to be experienced, which I think is very much the Hebrew mindset, is to be experienced versus to be analyzed. So righteousness to me feels like it's all right. Have you ever prayed and got, and before long the presence of God started to come into your prayer time, which is Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you started, nothing changes, but all around you, you start to just feel like, it's all right, it's okay, it's all right, it'll be all right, it's all right, it's all right. And nothing's changed. The moment before you felt there was something that had to so drastically change for things to go forward, but now it's just, it's all right, it's all right. That's righteousness in the simplest emotional feeling for me is it's all right. Peace feels in the simplest, you're safe. Just feels like safety, security. Like, you're safe. Wow. You know, the glassy sea in front of the throne, even when it's mingled with fire, it's still glassy. This peace, which is not detente, it's dominion. And you sense the guarding heart and mind, passing understanding. You're safe. And I'll feel that. And then joy, for me, I've come to simplify it as I feel this feeling. Cheer up. It's almost as when the kingdom of God arrives, or I become aware of the kingdom of God, or step inside the kingdom, or the kingdom comes alive inside of me, these things accompany the kingdom. It's all right. You're safe. Cheer up. It's all right. It's okay. You're safe. Cheer up. And if I let those emotions, imagery, substance, for lack of a better word, the invisible part of God begin to fill me, before long, I'm really carrying that. And when we carry that, it says in the next verse, verse 18, he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now you can realize, here I am, the same guy, and I've been a vegetable man all my life, but lately I've just kind of put that out of my mind, vegetables or McDonald's, and today I'm walking and been practicing righteousness, peace, and joy, and all of a sudden I meet somebody that knows nothing about my particular phobias or faith, and says, hey, let's go to lunch. And I go, yeah, that feels good. Let's go to lunch. And I'm just kind of righteous, peace, and joy. He says, hey, where are we going? I'm going, I've got coupons for McDonald's. And immediately my mind, I go, oh. But inside I go, wait, is that, what do you think? Where are you at? And now that I'm getting more in tune with the righteous, peace, and joy, I'll get a whole different way of handling it. A whole different way. It might be still the God that says, you know, for you, because I know your body and your makeup and your needs, why don't we suggest this? And just something so nonchalantly, non-confronting, you just, hey, how about over there? Tasty tea, tasty freeze. If that'd be any better, but... And it's just a move. It's a non-confrontation, because there's no need for it. There's just righteous peace and joy. Or you might go, oh, God says, girl, just don't worry about it. It's no problem to you. And all of a sudden, you'll be in a surreal, because you'll have your mind going, this is the alien world. And your spirit's going, well, it doesn't feel that weird. There's not dead humans behind the bar. You know, it's okay. You're in a different experience. Because your mind is created, your mindsets, your religious construct is being dismantled because the kingdom is taking over. And I think that's what's taking over in the intentionality. So one last thought with that. And then I'm going to have the people we prayed for and we prayed together, those who are going to pray. And again, this is simply a point of contact. When Paul communicated the Holy Spirit to the Ephesus church, he laid hands on them. So we could pray and the Holy Spirit could just come and everybody could receive, and that would be just as wonderful. But as a point of contact, I'm going to have the people here in the front that have already been prayed and prayed over to release righteousness in the Holy Spirit, a group over here for peace, right? And then a group over here for joy. Okay, and we're just going to open the bar. And you're going to receive. Now, you might say, hey, I don't want to go there. Don't go there. You can get it all in your seat. You're free to sit and rejoice and sit. I've had to learn to live here. I have to live here every single day. It's not fun. It is fun when I get there, but it's survival on planet Earth for me to live from the acclamation of heaven so I can walk through light afflictions, whatever, but for a moment. But here's the thought. If in the Holy Spirit, righteousness and peace and joy are available, and there is a substance of that, and let's say, how much of that are we currently enjoying? How much, all right, everything's all right, it's totally all right, you laugh, ha ha ha, I don't have any money, ha ha ha, it's all right, ha ha ha. Peace, oh, I'm so safe. I'm so safe. Joy, it's just great, it's great. Could there be enough righteousness and peace and joy to overtake all natural circumstances and fill us in such a way that we were kind of like, as we were outside of, we're drunk? Or what if I have 10% of the capacity currently to receive righteousness, peace, and joy? What if my capacity went up 50%? What if I became aware of righteousness, peace, and joy when I prayed? What if I prayed and made sure that I allowed that element of God to fill in my being? What if I became comfortable with that or grew in that? The potential of a people carrying God in a tangible fashion is I think for me, I know I'm not at 50%. I sometimes can hit a pretty good high point, but I drain quickly. I leak. But I want to just encourage us. It's best practiced alone, but tonight we're just going to release and we're going to enjoy. Is that okay? And you can sit and we're going to put worship music on. So can I get the people up here who are ready to pray? And then everybody else, and we'll be able to, it's 10 minutes till, and I'm going to pray for you guys on the internet in just a moment. So come on up. Don't be bashful. You know who you are. I like what Rosie said. You get over here. Now, come on. I'll pray a general prayer. The reason I do this, let me explain. Okay, there's nothing that anyone carries that, this is the group that is the official Kingdom of God carriers. You guys were here. All of you were in the 6 o'clock service. Come on up here. Deborah, come on, come on, come on. As though we carry something. Richard, get up here. You guys all were here. You're all part of the prayer you got prayed for. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 of course. I was born in the West. My mind thinks in a line. I approach everything wanting to understand it, and then one day it becomes something I will have because it's in a line of time. The kingdom of God is in a circle, and it moves in around like this. It's an Eastern thought. And that all things that God brings to us are to be experienced and to be experienced as they're understood, and sometimes not even understood but experienced. And we need almost permission. I almost need permission to feel peace, because peace isn't something you're supposed to feel, because I walk by faith and not by feelings. Remember that, the old car and the, you know, well, that's true, but I've always noticed that when faith really takes hold, I feel it. So there's a tangibleness of letting God touch you and learn to feel or have permission for that. That's why we do these exercises. And the exercises can be used by Holy Spirit, and you can allow them to say, okay, Lord, I am coming into agreement with your kingdom invading my life, and I expect to be wrecked in righteousness, peace, and joy. I expect to be totally whacked out in an superabundance of confidence I shouldn't have in a situation I can't get out of. I should be filled with a safety and a security that there's no reason in the world I should carry, and I should be happier than a lark, just high, high, high happy, and I'm going to go forward in life. It's the same life I got to live one way or the other. I'm going to live it in the kingdom. That's it. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. We're not, but Heavenly Father, I know all of us desire to live in the kingdom of God and to manifest in its entirety. And Lord, we could live our life cleaning the outside of the cup and arguing over what that looks like, and then one day have you rebuke us for being Pharisees and hypocrites. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. My cup's outside. Oh, gosh, Lord. I want you to come and cleanse my inside. I want the kingdom of God that you gave to us and the Son, Jesus Christ, to begin to manifest in my life in a greater way today than it did yesterday. I want more righteousness experiential, more peace experiential, more joy experiential than I had yesterday. God, I need it because the climate on the world outside is hostile, and it wants to impose on me and touch my feelings. So would you now rise up inside of us? And Lord, as these who are receivers are praying, and we come and we receive and we give and we receive, we welcome Holy Spirit to communicate. And we know that you can bring the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. So if the Holy Spirit comes, righteousness, peace, and joy. And so, Lord, over here, Lord, let a pool of righteousness form that affects us emotionally and vividly and imagery and joy and peace come here in the center and joy over on that end. And Father, on the internet, everyone who's watching, we declare even where you are, whether you're live or at a later day, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit's dwelling up inside of you. And as you just meditate and move in worship, then God himself starts to pour that river that comes from the throne, and it begins to bring life to every part of your being, your past, your present, and your future simultaneously. So let's stand up, and you can come. Let's put some worship, and just stay engaged. It really doesn't matter the touch, as it matters you being touched by heaven. Those of you on the internet, just don't disconnect right away. Stay engaged in the worship. Stay engaged and let Holy Spirit just begin to minister to you. He knows how you're feeling. He knows where you've been today. He knows what you heard yesterday. He knows your emotions. And God himself, through Jesus Christ, he heals and he delivers righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are the hallmarks of the kingdom, and they're in you, and they're coming alive right now by the Spirit of God. You don't have to manufacture this. You don't have to make life right. God has made life right by Jesus Christ. He justified your life by Jesus Christ. Your life may not look right or feel right or change, but in Jesus, it's justified, it's made right. And His righteousness is communicated, and you can take hold of that. His peace, it's like a centurion soldier surrounding your very being. Like the highest security company, the very CIA of God, standing around you and saying, I guard you. You can rest, you can relax, you can sleep. I bless you with sleep that you haven't had for a long time, because He gives to His beloved sleep, and to His beloved in their sleep. And He gives us sweet sleep. So sweet, kind, generous sleep come to you now. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And joy, inexpressible, full of glory. The very essence of God emanating from Himself. He is, as His fruit of His Spirit, love, joy, peace. Joy that strengthens us. Joy enters into you. It enters in, and you smile again. You cheer up. You smile again. You cheer up. You smile again, and you cheer up. And you cheer up, and you brighten your day, and you begin to see life from a heavenly perspective. Seated in heavenly places, He who sits in heaven shall laugh. And so you laugh. You laugh. Not because you have confidence in you, but God's giving you His confidence in Him. He is more than able. He's begun that good work. He started this process. He will finish what He began. He will not leave you until He's completed every good thing He said. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, yours. Watch Jesus come. Wow, the righteousness pool is really growing. Just keep receiving, everyone. Keep moving, keep grooving, keep receiving. It's like drinking or swallowing, partaking, breathing, leaving. And you're walking in the midst of that moment. Time. Those of you listening again, listen and behold the Lamb of God. He is brilliantly alive, confident, ferocious, His eyes not only piercing into the very center of your being, but His acceptance, His justification. You have been justified, made alive. You've been made righteous. You've been glorified, yet to be discovered, but you have been already in Christ. It affects emotions. It affects your being. You feel, you see, you sense, you discern, you think from a different place. Righteousness. All is well. It is well. It is well. It is all right. It is all right. It will be all right. All is well. His righteousness is prevailing. It's invading your history. It's taking over your current, and it's moving into your future. And His peace is filling, 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 surrounding, surrounding. Like a warm jacuzzi, you sit down. You can rest. Cease from the battle. You cease from striving. You cease from trying. And you receive. And you rest. And then from within, the very depth of your being springs up joy. 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 Inexpressible. Full of glory. Joy. 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 Joy, joy. Whoa, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, Lord. Yeah, yeah. Your righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Just keep receiving. We love you. Go in the love and mercy of God. You're welcome to keep staying, but we bless.